Of the three major religions of the Western world, Judaism is the oldest. It traces its origins back to Abraham, the patriarch who was considered the father of the Jewish faith some 3,000 years ago. The people of those days expected a Messiah. The Jews had the expectation of the birth of a Messiah. They saw this as being an active, decisive part of God's plan, but an action that God would take, something that was so obvious and so apparent that everyone would know about it. They believed that this was a way that God would assert his divine power and dominion over the world. They believed that God would take a person and choose them to direct the government of a kingdom, an earthly kingdom, that the rule of God would be direct and the rule of God would endure forever. But it seems, as happened many other times, that God had a surprise. It didn't work quite that way. It was a tiny baby born in Bethlehem. And as the stories are told, an infant so powerfully filled with the power of God that people who touched him were healed. An infant who certainly did not come into the world with the pomp and circumstance as we would have considered to be right for an earthly ruler, but for a manger, for a bed. As someone suggested, surely God could have done better than that. There was nothing that the world saw to announce his birth. The star directed the shepherds, the wise men, those who were receptive. Others, however, saw nothing unusual from this child or even the man Jesus. The Jews, even though he was a part of the Jewish tabernacle, expected him to lower their taxes, to assure employment, to bring down prices and overcome their enemies. This was the expectation of the action of a Messiah. They also believed that the Messiah would instill in the people a great love for the outer laws. Remember, there were many laws, some 500 and some laws that people were expected to adhere to. They covered every aspect of life, many rules, many regulations. But Jesus instead said, love is the fulfilling of the law. He also said, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. So there was quite a difference in what was expected and what appeared. And how often do we see this happening in our lives? That the work of God comes in a little different way from what we had anticipated. Maybe strange and odd. But out of the negation in life comes good. Out of the negation in life, a divine activity takes place. Still, nearly 2,000 years later, we celebrate this baby born in a small village in a stable. Certainly with no social or religious standing. And we are affected in all types of ways in our day-to-day activity. And someone suggested, who in the world would thought that some 2,000 years later, this infant could still cause all kinds of traffic jams? And if you look around you, you see a lot of things happening. But obviously, his life was so important that we have separated time as we know it. We've separated time into B.C., before Christ, the things that came before his birth, and then our time beginning after his birth. So many years, we still, in some way, know there is something different and something special about this infant who grew up to be Jesus, the man who became the Christ. A very important event in all of history. A very important event that has affected millions of people, believers and non-believers alike. Jesus Christ came to walk the ways of man. He lived in the world. He lived effectively in the world. He came to walk the ways of man while demonstrating the power of God. He demonstrated in his life, in and through the experiences that he went through, in and through the works that he did, he demonstrated the power of God. He taught some basic truths. He personified the very essence or spirit of God in man. This too was quite a surprise, such a surprise that we really have not caught on a great deal to the message that he gave. We have had very little awareness of the purpose of his life, and that is to teach us what we can become. Many, many wonders and surprises came through Jesus. From the time he came into the world until he moved from that, and still today. Rudolf Steiner wrote, "In Christ Jesus we have the great pattern or prototype of that which should be born out of every human soul. It is an image of the human soul born out of the spiritual universe, which can bestow the inner power of vision and bring about a spiritual birth, the birth of a higher man within the earthly man, the birth of the spiritual nature within what we consider the physical man." Christmas gives us a great vision of these potentialities. If we are alert to the wonders and surprises of the Christmas season, this will lead us to a spiritual rebirth, the birth of the Christ within. As we celebrate this season, the things that we see around us remind us of the truth. It's very easy, if you hear people talk, to be somewhat critical about our Christmas celebrations. And certainly there are times when we have not used wisdom and good judgment at all. Many who are concerned about commercialism, and we have made a lot of money out of Christmas, have we not? But we can use commercialism also. You're not going to make it go away just because you get disturbed at it, or I don't think so. So you learn to use it, to use the things that you see to remind you of the event that is to take place in you. The symbols of the Christmas season are representative of the spiritual unfoldment that takes place within the mind and heart of those who are open and receptive. The symbols of the Christmas season can have a tremendous impact on us if we learn to celebrate Christmas with joy. Many people feel a great deal of pressure about the Christmas celebration, and yet there is no reason to. Nobody really makes us do anything that we don't want to do they? Or if they do, then who's the problem? We must be true to what we feel strongly within our hearts rather than being pulled into something that we do not feel comfortable with. What you want to do, then put your mind and heart into it and enjoy the experience. Many of you were introduced to a lot of our Christmas symbols through our music program last week. I'd like to remind you, even if you are aware of them, to start looking more closely when you're out and about, following through on your many activities. Notice the special emphasis on light. Lights in windows, on trees, in yards, in stores. Light throughout the ages has always represented this illumined mind, a mind that can see clearly. A mind that can see beyond the appearance of things, into the heart and soul. The activity of light is a reminder that we need to look within to that Christ Spirit so that we gain the understanding that we need, the insight into life and living. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." To walk in darkness means more than just walking outside on a dark night. To walk in darkness means to walk through life without comprehending what life is all about, without seeing what is around us spiritually. To walk in darkness is to walk in negation, where we're continually beset by problems and difficulties, all types of lack and limitation. If we follow that pattern that Jesus gave, then we will not walk in darkness, but will have the very light of life. As we let our light shine, we help also to illumine the way for other people. Because Jesus did not make a claim for himself that he did not make of others. He also said, "You are the light of the world. Let your light shine." This would indicate that each of us are to allow that illumination that comes from the inner spirit to shine out through us, to share our understanding and our knowledge in order that others walk out of darkness into light. Nearly everyone is familiar with the basic colors of Christmas, red and green. Green is the color of new life, that moving force that persists even when it has no appearance of living. It is the strength and vitality that comes from the very life of God within the soul. The green tree representing the immortality of life and the immortality of the human soul. Red is the color of activity and enthusiasm. Purposeful activity is what we need in order that we can experience Christmas more fully. You need only look around you during the pre-Christmas weeks and you discover that people do have more energy, more enthusiasm, they're more lively and animated than at other times of the year. We're tuning in, consciously or unconsciously, to the essence of life and action and enthusiasm around them. And there is nothing wrong with that, because those qualities are within us always. Sometimes we are so engrossed in darkness that we are not aware of them. What about the gifts that we give at Christmas time? We should give an honor of the Christ within the person to whom we give. The same is true if we are addressing cards. To acknowledge within your mind and heart that you are recognizing the spiritual nature of that person that you are remembering, whether through cards or gifts or whatever. As the gifts were taken to the infant Jesus, so do we give in honor and recognition of the Christ that indwells another person. If we do this, then we will use greater wisdom and good judgment in our habits of giving. Because as with other things, gifts can sometimes be less than a blessing. If we are overindulging children, if we're being unwise, but we give out of the fullness of our heart, that makes God a part of our giving, so that we give with love and with wisdom as well. Remember in the Christmas story that love and wisdom were very much present. Love represented by Mary, Joseph representing the wisdom. And those two things essential to bringing forth the very essence of God within the Christ. Don't be afraid to let yourself get excited about Christmas, to get past all the Scrooge-type jaded individuals who think that Christmas is for children, that only applies to those adults who don't know better. We ought to enjoy the Christmas experience, knowing that each thing is a reminder of the very Spirit of God that is to be born within our hearts. So let yourself go. Be happy. Be enthusiastic as a child. The secret of genius is to carry the spirit of the child into old age. And these words of Huxley's are important to all of us. We carry that spirit of the child that is open and receptive to good. We don't have to analyze it. We don't have to get so concerned about it. We simply let ourselves enjoy it. To do so, put your whole self into the experience. It is a matter of the head and a matter of the heart. You need both, not just one. A balanced approach to the whole Christmas experience leads to happiness and joy afterwards, not regret. Remember that putting the head and the heart together always produces tremendous power. Practice love and goodwill toward all people. The message of Jesus Christ helps us to overcome all types of prejudice. It helps us to overcome wrong attitudes toward other people and even toward ourselves. For it helps us to build healthy, wholesome emotions. We must make room within our mind and heart for the Christ. How important for each one of us to see that there is room in our mind and heart for the birth of the Christ. It may mean a little mental, emotional house cleaning, that we get rid of some of the old beliefs that stand in our way, some of the old beliefs in limitation, and truly allow ourselves to experience that inner birth. To make your Christmas a joyful one, give up thoughts and feelings that deny the Christ. In other words, give up fears and doubts and worries, and instead affirm the presence of the indwelling Christ that is intelligent, loving, powerful, life-filled, containing every good and perfect gift. Because you see, we sometimes forget that we've already experienced Christmas within us if we recognize the presence of God within our souls. The many beautiful things that we hang on Christmas trees, the ornaments that we use, should be reminders of the qualities that are already ornamenting our soul. Think of your 12 spiritual powers as represented by the 12 disciples. Already these are a part of your nature: faith and strength and love and life, wisdom, power. You can go on and on. These are the adornments of the human soul that God has already given to us. There is one thing that we must remember. No matter what God has given to us, until we are willing to receive it, nothing much happens. So Christmas is a time of receiving the gifts of God. For every gift that's given, there must be a receiver, right? So we have to learn to be gracious receivers as well as gracious givers. And most particularly is this true in receiving the gifts that God has already given to us. They are there. It is up to us to accept them. To accept the truth that we are created spiritual beings and filled with light and love and goodness in all forms. Take time during these few days preceding Christmas and give some quiet time to the thought of Christ being born in you. Give some time and thought attention to the truth of these qualities that God has given to you already. And then you will discover that by the time Christmas comes, you will be ready to receive the birth of the Christ once again in you. And you will be ready to accept the gifts of His Spirit. God bless you.